He's clear. We've done this before. Everyone's done this. You know what's up. This puts Ibbitt back in front running as far as return appearances on the show.
Woo-hoo! Battle of the Bryans.
Yeah.
He's got it.
Take that, Patrick.
Side track.
You bastard.
He's also drinking beer. Beer and coffee?
Yeah.
What is that?
No. This is apple juice.
Oh, is it? Really?
No. Apple juice. No. Serious. No.
Seriously. Not even
Tom?
Hard apple cider.
Right. Good. Tom's got a brain sucker on his.
I have.
Current geek!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Current Geek. This is Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, That Gavel, and you, geeks of the world. To keep you current on all things that matter most, I'm Scott. That's Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hi, this is Gavel McLeod.
Hi, Gavel McLeod. It's nice to see you. You bringing that to Nerdtacular this year? What's your plan?
I will try to remember not only to bring it to Nerdtacular, but then bring it down from my hotel room.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because it was in the room the whole time, right?
I think I had it, yeah. And then I forgot to bring it.
Oh, poor Gavel.
You know what? I say that. But really, Gavel was like, I just need some me time. I'm going to go to the spa. I'm going to ride the zip line, you know, do some hiking.
Sure. All of these things, by the way, are available for real at Nerdtacular 2015. Come one, come all. Actually, tickets are gone, so don't try to keep coming. But everybody who's coming,
stay away.
We'll see you then. Anyway, we're back. Thank you for being here, everybody. We're happy to be here for Current Geek. We have guests. We have the now reigning champion as of today, Mr. Brian Ibbitt. He's been here the most. Hi, Brian.
Woohoo! Thank you for having me yet again.
Coverville.com.
I hope to get Current Geek right this time.
That's right. This time you get another chance. TMS, my co-host on TMS, co-host of Film Sack, guy's all over the damn place. It's the pate. Yeah. It's the pate with the most. I like to say. I've never said that. This is the first time.
Pate with the most.
Yeah,
the
granddaddy of music podcasting.
Yeah.
Glaberous dome with the most.
I like it. Also with us. Speaking of glaberous domes, he doesn't have one yet. In fact, he has a lot of extra hair. It's one Brian Dunaway. Hi, Brian.
Hi, I noticed you guys must be back around to the bees for your guest.
I wish I could say we were that organized. We don't really think of it that way.
We accidentally put both of you in backwards in the database.
Well, mainly, I just like having my best friends around. And
hey, two Bryans.
This is a good time, yeah.
That's pretty good.
All my favorite people in one place.
But he couldn't find him, so he had us three.
Of course, you know Brian from Film Sack, and you know Brian from Comics Coast to Coast, and back in the day, ELR with me, and man, Brian, just always been here, always around. I realized the other day, dude, 2005, that's our 10-year anniversary of our friendship. Think of that.
That is in 10 years.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
I don't
know. Are we going to do to celebrate? We got to do something.
I don't know. Gain all that weight back you had back then. That'll be fun.
All right, I'll go find it. I keep it in the bedroom.
Gross. In jars? Okay.
Right.
That's
there
disgusting.
You are, my precious Pat. I've missed you.
Well, all right. Let's just dump right in. Jump right in.
Take a dump right in.
To the headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom?
Dee Basinge actually notified us, and you may have seen this too. Trailers play before or after your Netflix shows. Netflix spokesperson Cliff Edwards told TechCrunch when asked about this, "We've had original teasers at the end of shows for a while. Some members may be seeing tests at the beginning of shows. And as you know, we test many things over the year, many of which are never universally deployed." So immediately TechCrunch said, "That sounds very reasonable and calming. Does that mean Netflix is going to put ads in there someday?" Mm. To which Cliff responded, "Our policy around ads is unchanged. We have no plans to support third-party ad units."
But Ibbitt saw one. Mm. Come up before a series,
right? But it was still a Netflix original, though. It was still what he's talking about.
It was a
original teaser. Yeah, I was seeing a preview for Sense8, which I think premieres tomorrow or this weekend.
This week, yeah, or this weekend.
So Scott,
yeah.
Listen to Cliff.
Yeah.
Cliff said, sometimes we're gonna play trailers for originals. It won't go to everybody, but he said our policy around ads is unchanged.
But. They were going to rent video games once. Remember that? What happened to that?
Our policy around ads is unchanged. We have no plans.
All right.
I'm used to watching these on the HBO, and I turn on the Game of Thrones. There's always something at the beginning of it. And I'm not going to lie, I don't like it.
Mm. Yeah, but you'd like it a lot less if it was Ford Taurus or something, right?
Right, for right. Sure. Yeah, if it was Ford Taurus, that would really tick me off because I already have Hulu. Thank you. I don't need that on my Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be the voice of argument here. But I actually didn't mind it because I'd forgotten about Sense8. And I, you know, other than when you first log into Netflix and see the what's new and what's coming, sometimes I just want to get in and watch something or pick up watching something that I started watching on another device, and I'd miss it, you know. So having it at the beginning of some of the things, you know, I watch, I actually don't mind it, and well, it's short.
I don't care. I'm sorry, Scott.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead. I'll say this, and then you respond to this as well. If it's before every episode on a thing you're binging, though, let's say you get 6 episodes a night because you're really into whatever it is. They're not doing it in front of every episode, right? It's just like a kind of random thing or a once in a while thing.
I only saw it once, and it was before an episode of Black Mirror, but it didn't appear before every episode of Black Mirror that I watched.
By the way, we test many things over the years, many of which are never universally deployed.
Shut up, voice of reason. I've got irrational things to say.
All right, go, Ryan, go.
All right. What the crap? Netflix is like worse than a retail store about moving crap around. I can never find, every time I log into Netflix, it's like, where's the new? Where's the this? Where'd you move it to? What is this stupid suggestion thing? They're always trying something new, and it's very annoying. I wish they would give me an interface that would, for the most part, stay the same. I know it's stagnant.
The mustard
I don't
and
care.
Ketchup I'm is old. Now in aisle 12. It's not gone.
So wait, Dunaway, you're saying you don't like the new stripe that says movies that feature actors with the letter X in their name.
Yeah, that's no good.
You don't care for that one?
No.
I like for my menu items to be stationary and static.
Yeah.
Stop moving around.
People don't like change, and it seems like it is ever fluctuating and ever fluid over there. In some ways, I like it because it means they are really, they're trying for that ultimate moment of we've discovered a way to truly give you exactly what you're looking for. But in the meantime, it does make you feel a little discombobulated, a little freaked out. Like the other night we were trying to find something to watch with the kids, and there's so many choices that we ended up not making one because there was really no reason to pick anything. And
so you're saying freedom of choice is what you think you want, but freedom from choice is what you need.
Maybe I'm like Steve
Thanks,
Jobs.
Devo.
Tom, way to go. I missed the reference completely.
Give yourself some points for that one.
Sure.
I'm ahead. Anyway, finally.
We'll see how it goes. I got a foot in Ibbitt's court. I got a foot in Dunaway's court. Tom, why don't you break the tie here? Why is this good or why is this bad?
There's nothing wrong with this.
There you go. Nothing wrong with it.
Like, listen, Dunaway's criticisms, as off the reservation of the main story as they were, are perfectly valid. Like, they do move stuff around. It's hard to find. I'm fine with change, but they seem to just change in ways that hide things that I found before. Right. That is frustrating. But Cliff Edwards, if you're listening, which I know you're not, I tried.
All right, good try. I think you channeled him just fine, to be
Thank
honest.
Thank you.
So nice job.
It's been my lifelong goal to channel Cliff Edwards properly. Captain Kipper is going to be channeled now. He made sure we saw the story about the woman who dropped off an original Apple computer for recycling at a Milpitas recycling center called Clean Bay Area. She'd said, yeah, I was cleaning out my garage. My husband died. I don't need a receipt. And she did not leave a name. That's worth a lot of money. In fact, there's only 200 Apple Ones ever made. Wow. So Clean Bay Area lost no time in selling it for $200,000 to a private collection, but they are seeking the woman because they'll split the money.
See, that's cool that they're willing to do that.
Cool that they just sold it without trying to find it. And they're like, well, we'll keep $100,000 of it.
Okay, good point.
You think it sounds like they're nice people, but I read the article, and apparently it's policy that if they sell it, they have to, they have a self-imposed thing where they try to contact the seller and give half. But I want to know, who's recycling at Apple?
Yeah, well,
who's doing that?
Well, so, okay, if you take
I'm guessing her name is Lisa.
Right. Very good. Her dead husband.
If you take one of those multicolored iMacs from 97, and you don't have anywhere to take it, that's a good thing. You're encouraged to take that and have it recycled because that stuff can cause all kinds of problems. You just throw it in a landfill or break it up yourself or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing. I'm a little surprised she didn't look at that thing and notice that. I mean, those Apple Ones, they look like they're made with, like, somebody broke apart an old coffee table. Like,
wooden. The solid wood with an exposed circuit board with a bunch of processors on it.
Yeah, and
it looks like junk, right?
It does look like junk. And I guess if
you don't know what it is, and she didn't, It right. just looks like crap yeah. that you need to take to the Clean Bay Area Recycling Center to get rid of responsibly.
Is this Cliff Edwards again? Is that what's happening?
Cliff died. Oh. Not Cliff Edwards. Oh. This, her husband, I'm going to call her husband Cliff. No, that's okay. confusing, isn't it? I yeah, shouldn't do that.
Kind of
Bob.
Is
Bob little. Died.
Sure.
He was always puttering around in the garage.
Right.
You know, I don't know what to... The one thing he made sure to tell me is if you ever get rid of stuff, you have to recycle it properly. You can't just throw the stuff in the trash. You'll get fined. So I did the right thing. I didn't realize any of this was worth anything.
I buy your reenactment. That's the best reality TV I've ever seen, and it was over Skype on our podcast. That was really good. I'm with you.
I blame the husband for dying.
And if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go take the innards out of my PS1, stick it in a wooden box, and see what I can get for it.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I mean, 200,000 of them, I'm guessing it's a bit like, you know, the Action Comics issue one, where they're all sort of a known quantity at this point. Is there some way to find out where they're all at? I wonder if this was one of those lost links.
We didn't know.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway.
I'm sure several of them have been destroyed. There were only 200 made. I'm sure some of them have gone this way before anyone knew they were valuable, like in the 80s even.
So there's some dude over at this place that just... eBay's everything, Google's everything every day. Is that kind of what happens here, you think?
Well, probably, yeah. That would make sense. Is they've got a way, you know, or they just knew somebody. They're in Silicon Valley. They're in Milpitas. So I'm sure they had a hotline into somebody's like, hey, we got an Apple One. I don't think they did anything wrong. Let me say that. However, if they wanted to do the most right thing, they would have held on to it and let the woman and tried to find the woman and give it back to her and say, you probably didn't really want to recycle.
Yeah, that person who wanted to buy it probably would have helped continue to hold on until they contact her. I'm noticing a picture of the board. Why does it say Apple Computer 1 on it? It's like, did they know they were going to make second versions? It's like World War I. They didn't call that World War I until there was a World War II.
That's not the picture of hers. That is a picture of one that someone constructed a while ago. And they don't all look like that. Most of them are just, circuit boards on a flat back. This is somebody who made one.
Gotcha.
With some wood-burning skills, right?
Yeah. You're talking about the one that has the little Apple computer cutout up there at the top?
Yeah. The one on the article.
That's a very famous... like fully assembled, but it was a kit. So
right. It doesn't show at all. Doesn't look like a kid did that.
Do you think there's still like little Woz hairs in it? Like little
Woz hairs.
Do you think we could genetically reconstruct Woz?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. We just need to get the DNA off that hair, off that beard hair. Oh man. I'm all
beard
in.
Hair. Sure.
Tom, we reported something last week that turned out to be utter bull crap.
Wait a minute. This next
article.
Captain Kipper says it says Apple Computer 1 right on it. Maybe he's talking about the circuit board, in which case
he's talking about the circuit board, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It could have been. Oh, think of it, though.
I'm sure Woz was like, well, this is the first one. I'm probably going to make others.
Yeah. That's how I... He didn't.
Now, getting back to the other thing. We didn't report anything that was wrong. It was right at the time. But Taurus pointed out the news that Hot Topic seems to have been outbid in its purchase of ThinkGeek. GameStop has swooped in, offered $20 a share, stealing the deal away from Hot Topic. GeekNet, which is ThinkGeek's parent company, has now formally accepted GameStop's offer. The deal should conclude sometime in August, unless somebody else comes in and swoops in with an even better offer.
Now, Brian Ibbett, let's say you just walked into this new ThinkGeek store in the mall, and I'm going to approach you now, and I'm going to say, oh, hello, sir. May I interest you in a pre-order of Captain Kirk's hat, and then also would you like the strategy guide to go with it? Like, I'm a little worried about the culture of it. Now, we don't know if this means retail stores with the ThinkGeek moniker, do we? Like, we don't know that.
No, my guess is it's going to be Hot Topic stores that have a ThinkGeek section. Like they have a Marvel section and stuff like that.
Well, GameStop,
right now,
you may know, right? Because GameStop bought them.
I'm sorry, GameStop.
Yeah. So they'd pull down like a whole rack of used PS2 games or
something. Right, and then you'd get your Doctor Who keychains, your Sonic screwdrivers, your Newton's cradle that glows in the dark or whatever, and just be all in that section.
What else are you going to buy at GameStop?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's why I think this is brilliant, right? Is the people who shop at ThinkGeek overlap greatly with the people who shop at GameStop, except that the people going to GameStop are getting fewer and fewer because you can just download content and buy it over the internet now. So GameStop is saying, hey, let's keep these people wanting to come in by giving them something else that they would like to buy.
And the fact that I could satisfy my ThinkGeek shopping urges with instant gratification, it just blows my mind.
Armored Meat points out, GameStop is where I go to browse all the new games before downloading online. And if they can be like, oh, but we can get you to buy some ThinkGeek stuff while you're in the shop, that makes sense.
But I go to the internet to browse all the games I'm going to buy.
Are not the target market.
I do the same thing. I do occasionally go into GameStop. I don't know why. It's just kind of like a... I don't know. I just like being around other gamers and talking to the employees and looking at the games that are a possibility.
Think about it. Now add to that list, browse unicorn meat, wind up sushi, soldering irons.
Yeah. My money is spent.
Now you've actually given me a reason to go to GameStop.
Well, here's my thinking. I think this is less about what they're going to do retail and more about them just building up more and more stable, strong internet sector stuff. Because they're doing that with other things. They have other stores too. They do the Sprint stores, I guess, and some other stuff. But the idea that they are balancing out their business with a lot of really strong internet properties and holding on for dear life to the brick and mortar as long as they can, that seems like a decent strategy to me. You know, they've got a little bit of an exit plan, or they have a way to section things off if it comes to that, or to sell that off for more later because they're doing really well or whatever. So I do not fault their strategy, but I guess they ended up having to pay, how'd this work? Yeah, they don't.
Extra $20 million.
Somebody has to pay Hot Topic some get out of the deal money in this thing.
Right.
And I think it's GeekNet who has to, because basically they made the agreement. It was all going forward. And then GameStop came in and said, we will buy the strategy guide.
Do you know that for sure?
That was in the article we read on TMS the other day. So unless that's changed or was...
Sometimes hokum. That's true. I just don't... I have not read anything that says that anybody lost any money on this.
Now I got to find it. It was some kind of...
I think that unless... If nothing was
signed... What I had read was that they had an agreement with Hot Topic that said... If this agreement is going to go through unless someone comes in with a better offer.
And like all my marriages.
That there was no penalty.
Nice.
But major penalties.
I'm trying
incurred.
To find it because I know we talked about it and I don't want to waste too much time on it. But it's somewhere in here there's a thing about ThinkGeek and how they had to pair up to pay the money or something. There was some legal hoo-ha they had to do.
You would think there would have to be legal hoo-ha.
Yeah, there's always legal hoo-ha. Think about
right.
that.
Exactly.
Anyway, we'll track it down.
It's kind of besides the point because it doesn't matter
totally.
Because GameStop's going to buy it now and they're paying $20
maybe.
A share, which is a lot more. So the only thing that could happen now is somebody else come and outbid GameStop.
But who else isn't a retail place that could make that happen?
I don't know. Amazon?
That would have a fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But Amazon if you're talking about straight up brick and mortar, probably maybe, I don't know, maybe Target could buy them. Let's say.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That would cheapen
space.
The brand of ThinkGeek for me, though, because they kind of already got that.
Target has a very different vibe in different parts of the country. Like, I've noticed that. The Targets have a different feel. In some places, that would actually improve a Target.
Couldn't hurt.
But in other places, you know, Target's one of the, here in Colorado, Target is like one of the nicer, cleaner places you can go for retail purchases. That and Best Buy. And Kmart is looked down upon unfavorably. But in other places, it's quite the reverse. So I know exactly what you're talking about, Brian.
Here they think that Target is a step up. And
I found it, by the way.
Oh, you did?
You are correct.
Oh.
GeekNet must pay Hot Topic a 3% breakup fee, which GameStop has agreed to reimburse, according to Ars Technica.
Oh, okay. Well, then, so I'm sure that's probably standard procedure how these things go if there's something like this. But I don't know. I mean, I wonder how solid the deal was and how upset. I want the drama is what I want. I want Hot Topic throwing a fit and walking around with like their spiked belts.
That's the problem with media today. You don't want truth. You just want drama.
Partly.
You want them all pitching a fit with their nose rings and they're all black
yes.
and their hair
Brian,
covering their
Brian
faces.
Is nailing it. That's exactly what I want because I want the representative from Hot Topic to be decked out in all that Hot Topic crap and to be all pissed.
This is crap.
And the GameStop guy's in a red shirt with a tag, just total nerd.
Shrugging.
Oh, man.
I don't know. We had money. I don't know.
A guy can dream.
All right. How about some good news? Dust off your Pip-Boy and turn up the ink spots because Star Fury Zeta has the welcome news. Fallout 4 is coming to Xbox One, PS4, and PC. Woo! Game's going to take place in the city of Boston. Trailer shows you apocalyptic versions of Bunker Hill and Fenway Park, the iconic gold-domed version of Massachusetts State House. But the trailer also shows scenes from before the bombs fell. which is very interesting, causing a lot of theories. Also, there's a German Shepherd similar to dog meat from Fallout 1, prominently featured. Bethesda's going to have its first ever E3 press conference on Sunday, June 14th, and a live interview with game director Todd Howard at 2:30 p.m. Pacific, Tuesday, June 16th, followed by a full-on Fallout panel, Fallout 4 panel, in fact, Wednesday, June 17th.
Here's my prediction. I think that that game is way further along than anyone thinks, and we'll find this out at E3, and that they'll release that thing this fall slash holiday period.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think, Dunaway? We were talking about this earlier. What do you think about
that? Totally. I think the rumors are really pushing towards an October, November release. I pre-order my PS4 version on Amazon because they have a great pre-order thing. People gave me some grief about the pre-order for that, and I'm like, look, Amazon doesn't make you pay for it until they actually ship it out. And if the price goes down between any time between now and then, they'll give me the lowest price.
Yeah, I don't see that as the same as going into a store and having them cash your money and put it in a bank and earn interest on it for 6 months for no reason. Like, there's actual value in both I'm going to get it when I want it, and they'll guarantee price, and they won't charge me, and I'll get free shipping because I have Prime. Like, there's a lot of reasons Amazon doesn't fit that stereotype, in my opinion.
At what point will I be able to take this to a GameStop and get an Iron Man robe?
December 31st.
Yeah.
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 June 18th.
Right. But I'll tell you, Fallout 4 is people have been clamoring for it for years. Looks like they're using a totally new engine, and it's gonna address some of the things that some people were asking about, like weather. They wanted weather in the Fallout to make it a little bit more moody. Mm. But if you go to YouTube right now, there are all kinds of speculation videos. You can go for 30 minutes analyzing that 3-minute trailer.
Yeah.
Now, as you can see in this particular flashback,
true
Shadow
story.
Of Dogmeat is at an angle of 0.3, which is indicative.
We talked about this a lot on the old Final Score show, but we are huge fans of that world and those games, and I couldn't be more excited. It's going to be great. Wasn't Veronica in the New Vegas? Didn't she have a voice in there, or am I thinking of Felicia Day?
Ooh, don't get that wrong.
Somebody.
Everybody's shaking their heads.
Everyone's like, no, go, draw, escape, run.
Hey, want to move on to the next story?
Yes.
Dark Fury Zeta also sent the news that Steam is getting a proper refund system. You'll be able to get a full refund on any game for any reason if it's been less than 14 days since you bought it and you've spent less than 2 hours playing it. Refunds apply for downloadable content, bundles, pre-purchase games, as well as refunds on Steam wallet funds. They don't apply to things you purchase outside of Steam and then register on the platform, because Steam didn't get the money for that, so they can't refund it. Valve did warn users that if it looks like they're using the refund system to play games for free, they could stop offering them, because they know their audience.
Yeah, I was talking.
We don't think you could abuse this system, but if you figure it out, we're just going to stop it.
Yeah,
1 hour 57 minutes, 1 hour 58 minutes, and done.
There's already people trying to figure this out. They're going, well, what if I play offline? What if I go offline and play the game? And what if I get an old game that runs in DOSBox and it doesn't calculate that? And there's people are trying to scam it already. But I think what their warning is not necessarily they'll pull the whole refund policy. I think they're saying that if you as a user, just like when you go to Walmart and you return stuff too many times, I don't know, it's never happened to me, they will, you know, track you and go, more to you.
Yeah, they'll just stop you. And if you keep doing things like that, they'll just ban you from Steam. They're not opposed to doing that if you're abusing the system. But I'm really excited about it because it is about that much time that it takes for me to decide if that thing I just got on a summer sale was crap or not. You know,
it takes less than that usually for me.
You're like a half hour in, you're like, okay, that's no good. And I guess I just live with it because now I own it. But this is, you know, I think we talked about this maybe even like 5-6 years ago, how they really needed to implement a system like this. And I don't know what took them so long. This is great.
Everybody else is doing it. Even Origin allows you to get a refund for stupid games.
Well, probably just answer my question. If enough of their competition are doing it, they're going to feel that pressure, I guess.
You know, it's funny too, Deadaway, I'm glad you made that clarification that they just mean they would stop offering refunds to you if they think you are doing it. In their FAQ, where they state that, they say, we do not consider it abuse to request a refund on a title that was purchased just before a sale and then immediately rebuy that title for the sale price.
Oh, really?
That's in their FAQ.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Weird.
So instead of doing a price guarantee, they're allowing you to use this process to get your price guarantee.
Oh, that's really great. Cool. Ibbit, Ibbit, you got a whole shelf of games that are unopened. Too bad they're not on Steam.
I do that on Steam, too.
Oh, good. Yeah, I think your 14 days are up, though, on most of them. So
on most of them, yeah. Well, on all of them, yeah. I haven't bought anything from Steam in over a month. So
which will kind of is going to kind of create an odd thing, probably, where people will be playing these games that they usually just bank. Like Ibbit, me, we all do it. When we see a game that goes on sale, we don't touch it. We just go, well, I'll look at it later.
Right. I can't get it on sale. Anyway. I know I'm going to want to play that at some point.
Right. But now, will you open that, download it, open it, play it now just to kind of see? Or are you just.
Yeah,
you just
probably.
Don't care?
No, I probably will. And what it's going to do for me is give me that, make me feel like I've got a safety net, right? It's like, oh, I'm more likely to buy something that is questionable, that I hear a lot of good things about, but maybe I'm not sure if I like, because I know that if I don't like it and I haven't played it for more than 2 hours, I can take it back. So I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, cool. Well done, Steam, I would say.
Wait till they ban me and I'll have a different different take on it.
Cool.
No, it seems like that would, I mean, my reading of this is that would fit, that they're like, right. No, that's okay.
Yeah, because I mean, hey, I'm, you know, I'm buying things that I maybe wouldn't necessarily buy if I follow that rule. So
now I know it feels like there's a lot of video game news. Some weeks there's lots of Marvel news. Some weeks there's lots of like processor news. This week there's lots of video game news. Part of that is because E3 is coming up.
Have been on a processor week.
I know. I'm sorry. We'll fix that in a minute for you. But we have one more video game story. Piscator NF pointed out that the Strong Museum of Play, that's not a description. That's actually, it's named after a guy named Strong, in Rochester, New York, has named 6 games to the new World Video Game Hall of Fame. Here are the 6. Pong, Pac-Man, Super Mario Brothers, Tetris, Doom, and World of Warcraft.
Whoa.
Foul.
What? Hold on now.
What? Now, hold it. Well, just let me tell you, it was an advisory committee, about 24 journalists, scholars, and game historians that made these decisions. And the goal was to have games that have enjoyed popularity over a sustained period and also had extended influence on the video game industry or popular culture and society in general. And just as a side note, you'll be able to play all of these at the museum's E-Game Revolution exhibit.
So, Dunaway, you have to at least look at World of Warcraft, despite where your cow is in that ravine in some dungeon somewhere right now. You have to look at it and see its cultural impact, at least.
I'm just saying that World of Warcraft is still a very active part of gaming now. I don't think it needs to be in a museum yet, because we haven't finished it yet.
In a museum.
You know what? There, you make a good point. These other games, while still played by people who love them, Pong, Pac-Man, Tetris, Super Mario Brothers, in their original incarnations, you're right. Those are games that people are not actively buying or purchasing or playing or, you know, whatever, except in sort of ironic or you know, retro ways or whatever. World of Warcraft, still a thing. You're absolutely correct. So that is a weird distinction, because on this list, it was picked from 15 finalists that included Angry Birds, way too soon.
Way too soon. And too late.
And not good enough. FIFA, although I still say their theme song is one of the best video game themes ever made. But anyway, FIFA's on there, which is weird because that's a yearly franchise and it's just a weird one. It's a huge selling game, but I'm not sure that one fits. Right. Legend
and
Zelda should
have. People who can't see well, those little people are just too small in FIFA for me.
Exactly. Legend of Zelda was on this list. It didn't get picked. Minecraft, surely, though not this time, will surely make the list at some point. Oregon Trail, Pokemon, The Sims, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Space Invaders were all turned back in favor of these others. So there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean,
how old is World of Warcraft?
What? Which one? What? Who? Who?
How old is World of Warcraft?
Oh, how old? 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
So you're saying that any games that are 10 years old are too new?
No, I'm saying anything that is on that debuted on the iOS App Store is too new.
Right.
Angry Birds is not too new. I don't even
know. Well, no, I'm saying World of Warcraft too new. I guess Dunaway saying that.
I say it's too new. I think not because it's too new, it's because it's still active. I don't think you put somebody in a Hall of Fame
It's not a person though.
Or a museum. But Hall of Fame is basically a museum for people. But you know, I would think that you would wait until their run had finished so you could take a total look and go, all right, this is good, because, you know, who knows what World Warcraft.
But you're going to have to wait.
Crazy.
Yeah, you're going to have to do the same thing with Mario Brothers and have Paper Mario considered as part of that, and Baby Pac-Man and
Baby Pac-Man.
Super Pac-Man and everything like that. I mean, if you're going to consider, you know, if you got to wait until something's entire run, who knows how long.
Whose museum is this anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
To me, the question is, is anything going to happen in the future that would undermine World of Warcraft's significance at the time that it launched and became popular? And I don't think so. It could tank tomorrow.
Steroids?
Blizzard could pull the performance enhancers. They find out. Yeah, sure. But I don't think there's anything that they could do that would change the legacy of what happened.
Yeah, and if
I think
any,
that's what the folks that made these selections were looking at. It. They are in chronological order. They're basically saying in its era, Pong defined gaming. In its era, Pac-Man defined gaming. A lot of people are saying Ms. Pac-Man's the better choice, and they're probably right, but there is no Ms. Pac-Man without Pac-Man, right?
Yeah, right.
Super Mario Brothers for its era. That's why it's there instead of Legend of Zelda. They said, nope, Super Mario Brothers really was the predominant in that era. Tetris for its type and its era. Doom, World of Warcraft. So these all make sense to me.
Yeah, they do to me as well. And Warcraft, until somebody actually beats Warcraft at the MMO game, there's no reason to consider anybody else as impactful. And so many have come since and innovated past them, maybe in some ways, but have all used their templates since then. And when they started, they took an industry that was kind of small and fledgling and turbo boosted it into the stratosphere. And I'm almost arguing that there will be no MMO market by the time WoW goes away. It's like it will exist during its entire run of why that whole genre is even significant. And one day we'll look back and go, remember MMOs? Will be the same as saying, remember World of Warcraft.
Right.
We'll see. It's a big deal, though, and congrats to them. And they're pretty excited about it. I've heard internally that they're kind of jumping.
We're
up
going
and down.
Into a museum.
Yeah.
It's not like also, you can't play World of Warcraft anymore.
Oh. Who, Brian?
You can only play World of Warcraft.
Oh. Can't play vanilla.
The goat people.
The goat people.
Draenor? Oh man, I'm having a horrible season.
I'm going with the goat.
Legends
people.
Of Draenor. Thank
there
you.
There you go. Well, no, you mean Warlords of Draenor is what you mean.
Warlords. Yeah, that's not even one. Legends. I still got it wrong.
I love it.
I want to say Clash Mr. Pandaria, which you also can't. I mean, I guess you can. But,
hold on.
But you can't just play World of Warcraft anymore.
Right.
Since Cataclysm is my point.
Good point. That's like a 10-year-old game that's had a bunch of expansions, almost new games. Yeah, it's a good point. But also,
and Cataclysm
saying
changed
there should be
everything.
An asterisk next to that, okay?
But who are all the right. Who are the goat people?
The Draenor.
The space goats. Okay,
yes.
Got it.
So
the warlords
is the World Video Game Museum. Is it focused only on consoles? Like no. Like arcade machines. I noticed they have Pac-Man in here, but in the example they show of Pac-Man, it's that little rinky dink one.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an official image, but it's Pac-Man, the arcade game.
Well, because I'm looking at the other finalists, and there's so few. I guess, never mind, Space Invaders is in the list.
Yeah.
But it does seem very light on arcade games.
Well,
which
remember Tetris started in arcades, and same with Super Mario Brothers. That was an arcade game before it was ever a home game.
Yeah.
But
that's
you're right. The significance changed.
Like Space War, mm-hmm. Space Invaders is on their final list. That, you know,
if I find one thing objectionable, it's that The Sims made the finalists and not SimCity. Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
That's weird.
That's a good point.
But then again,
arcades are made of now.
What?
Giant fake looking iPads with Doodle Jump.
Right.
On it.
Yeah, with the Doodle Jump and Fruit Ninja, and
you get tickets for that stuff now.
So sad.
Here's one thing, the final thing I'll say about this, and this is all I'm gonna say. I wanna say this. What was I gonna say? Now I don't remember. I was gonna say that think of it as the podcast awards.
Right.
And then realize that it's all just some weird popularity contest.
It's fine. You're right.
We all won. All right, Tom, go ahead.
You were wanting some processors as close as I can come. Ibit Disco Racks, let us know. Intel announced Thunderbolt 3 will use the USB Type-C connector instead of the mini DisplayPort connector. Thunderbolt 3 will be the next version of Thunderbolt, and the USB Type-C is a very small reversible connector that's very similar to the Lightning connector that the current iPhone uses. Thunderbolt 3 will support USB 3.1 up to 10 gigabits per second. Thunderbolt's own transport layer can go up to 40 gigabits per second, bidirectional full duplex. That means one cable from Thunderbolt 3 could support two 4K displays or even a 5K display at 60 hertz. At launch, they're going to have a passive Thunderbolt 3 cable that'll support USB 3.1 and DisplayPort 1.2 at 20 gigabits per second. An active cable will support 40 gigabits per second, but without the DisplayPort compatibility, which is interesting. And then an active optical cable is coming sometime in 2016, and that would support everything. The other two, though, should ship before the end of this year.
We're about to hit one of the... I hate this phase. I hate it because all the stuff we have don't have these ports on them yet. They don't have any of this stuff. And then you just think about all the crap you're going to have to get. And then it's usually not a big deal. Like three, four years from now, I'll be going, well, it's no big deal. We all have whatever we have. But at the time, I hate it. It's like USB 3.0, so much faster. Too bad nothing you own has a port on it. And
I'm so glad they named it USB-C because that's going to make everything a lot easier. Can you hand me that USB cable? No, the two. No, the micro, the one. Mini.
I need the, yeah.
The B.
The B. Remember B?
I had to do this a little bit ago with the kids over at my house right now that are hanging with Tristan. We need a charging cable for the PlayStation 3 controller. Oh, okay. Well, just use the one from the PlayStation 4. No, that's got the little smooth edge to it. I need the one with the little jaggedy USB.
Yeah. USB mini micro, mini.
Like a micro?
Yeah. I mean, I'm swing it around, I'm all for these connectors that are like lightning where it goes in either way. You're not having to fumble around.
Yes.
Well, great. And that's the brilliance of this is all these complaints get solved over time by things like this happening where Thunderbolt 3 says, you know what? We're going to support the same connector as USB. Suddenly, boom. Think if FireWire and USB had done this in the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah. Probably still be using them.
Kind of what's happening here.
Yeah.
And think about all the ports on the back of your desktop in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And think about now you've got two Thunderbolt USB, and you might only have one soon.
Yeah. Right. Maybe display port on some or whatever. But like, yeah, if you want me really to think about my 97 ports, good Lord, parallel ports, serial ports, two of them.
Right.
Big one, 25 pin, 9 pin. Ugh.
If there's a storm.
I'm going to plug in my dot matrix printer.
Nicely played.
Well done, Tom. All right. Well, that takes care of the news today. We're going to pause here for a quick break. When we come back, it's the pop quiz. Stay tuned. Today's excellent episode of Current Geek is brought to you by you or those like you who've supported us at patreon.com/frogpants. It helps shows like Current Geek do what they do best. If you haven't supported us, consider it. And those who have, thank you. That's at patreon.com/frogpants. And we're back. And guess what? It's time for this.
America scores and wins.
Oh, that didn't work. There we go. Hello. That game show music only means one thing and one thing only. It's time for the pop quiz. It's a chance for our guests to be asked questions in areas of their trivial expertise. If they get questions correctly, if they get them wrong... And the whole time, Tom keeps score because there's two of them. We can have a little competition here between the Bryans. We're going to start with Brian Ibbett, our returning...
Hold on, let me put on my smart person glasses.
Get those out, will you?
Oh, yeah, look at that.
All right.
I never see you in those. Always weirds me out. all right, I'm going to put focus on you in the Skype. I'm going to now bring up your... Actually, I want Tom in there, too, because he makes funny faces the whole time.
I'm ready. Here we go.
Brian, are you ready for your questions?
Come to me, my X-Men. Good. Yes, I'm ready.
Here are your questions. They are in the area of Las Vegas history.
Oh, God. All right.
I'm hoping you'll love this one. It was fun to watch it already. All right, here we go. Let me find my place. All right, first question. What major Vegas hotel had a devastating fire in 1980, resulting in the death of 85 people?
That was the old MGM Grand.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, which is on the spot of... I want to say it's the SLS now.
Is it? I thought it was Bally's. So. No, maybe not.
Oh, Bally's. I'm sorry. Yeah, Bally's was the old MGM Grand. Yes.
I didn't.
Yeah, you lose a tenth of a point for being a little too smart for your own good.
I just knew it wasn't in the place it is currently.
All right, fair enough. Next up, what year did Star Trek: The Experience open?
Oh, wow! I could tell you when it closed.
Mm-hmm.
It opened. It would have been during the Deep Space Nine, so I'm going to say 2003?
1998.
Oh, I was there.
Yeah,
were you really?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went. Me and a buddy from Austin got like cheap tickets on Thanksgiving and flew up to Las Vegas, and we didn't actually get to go in because they're like, it's opening Monday. We're like, but we got to like see it. We just couldn't.
Right. Why? Who does an opening that's not like over the weekend, right? Like,
well, it was Thanksgiving weekend. And the reason we got the cheap rates is nobody was in in Las Vegas during Thanksgiving, so they were opening it once the tourists came back.
Wow. Well, next up, nicely not done there. You didn't get that one wrong. Next question. Approximately what is the length in miles of the Las Vegas Strip?
Oh, jeez.
You can do miles or you can do kilometers if you thought.
Yeah, I'm not going to do kilometers. Let's say it's 4 miles long.
Oh, he's so close. I'm going to say, all right. It's four. Well, it's 4.2. What do you
say,
Tom?
Come on. You said in miles. You didn't say in miles.
We're
going to
give you 0.8. We're going to give you 8/10 of a point for being close. But then we're going to take off 1/10 of a point for dissing the metric system. So you get 0.7.
All right.
You'll leave those space points alone. All right. Next one.
You're going to take off a millipoint.
Yeah, millipoint. What year was the iconic Welcome to Fabulous Las Vegas sign built?
Oh, geez.
We just talked about that.
Yeah, the woman just recently passed away, right? It was
That's right. You were
Betty,
telling me that.
Davis.
That Brand? Would be a national holiday. Boop. What are you talking about?
Betty Boop.
Let's see. That would have been 1975.
You would be incorrect. It is 1959.
So close.
So close. Yeah, not even. a couple decades off is all. All right. What was the first casino to be built on Highway 91/Las Vegas Strip?
The Flamingo.
You would be incorrect. It is the Pear O' Dice Club in 1931.
Really? Wow. Is that the Bugsy?
Probably the Bugsy Malone joint,
Bugsy
right?
Malone Club, yeah.
Pear O' Dice.
Pear O' Dice.
I
starting
hate
a grand tradition just, of puns.
And the name started there and went down.
Yep. Didn't see that continue, did you?
Spot so fun.
What floor of the Cosmopolitan houses, this is easy, houses the secret pizza restaurant?
It's on the third floor.
Correct. It's really good too, by the way.
I didn't know that.
I burned my mouth
not
so bad.
Pizza Rock though.
No.
Pizza Rock is my new favorite.
I burned my mouth so bad on their pizza last trip that it took 3 days to taste anything again. Mm. It was really good though.
Did this come right out of the oven?
They kind of do.
Yeah. Well, it's because they take the slices and throw your toppings on there, throw them back into the oven to cook further.
Yeah. And they come out molten hot. Yeah. And if you're starving, you're just dumb and you bite. next one. The Golden Nugget has several major renovations. What year was their last renovation?
Oh, it was, I want to say it was just recently when they...
Do you want a hint?
Yeah.
I can give you one. They put a new tower up there this year that we're talking about.
Okay.
That probably doesn't help, but
it doesn't help. But I'm thinking it was I'm going to say within the last 5 years, but let's say 2012.
You are incorrect. It was 2009.
And you lose 1/10 of a point for getting a hint and still not getting it right.
Yeah, that tower hint really would have put you
ahead. I deserve it.
Final question. Vegas Vic, VIC, is the giant neon cowboy. I didn't know this. Mm-hmm. At what former casino was this sign displayed?
It's one of the ones on Fremont Street. It's the guy with he's pointing his thumb back and doing, you know, the hitching a ride looking kind of thing. Was that the Silver Slipper?
Is that your final answer?
No, it's the answer I gave, and it should be counted as my final answer, but I know it's wrong because that's still around.
All right. You would be incorrect. It is the Pioneer Club.
The Pioneer Club. Tough one.
I think
you... me in the club. The Pioneers.
Now, hold on to that thought, because now it's Brian Dunaway's turn. He is going to do 1990s cartoon trivia.
All right.
Ooh, yeah.
90s cartoon.
90s, yeah.
Age of Nickelodeon.
That's right. Animaniacs.
Still kind of a kid then. So here you go. Number question one.
Number one.
Who created Ren and Stimpy?
John Kay.
You don't have to pronounce his last name. You are correct.
Crickfalusi. That's how you say it, actually.
Crickfalusi, yeah. I was going to give you a bonus if you gotten the pronunciation right. You still get a full point.
Yeah, you get a full point. You're fine. What year did Pokemon anime begin airing in the United States?
Well, see, this is the year thing is going to be a little bit easier for me. You got a 10-year span. I'm going to go pretty early, maybe 94.
You are incorrect. It is 1998. A year elusive both for you and Ibit today. 98.
Right.
All right. Damn, who provided the voice of Kwame in Captain Planet and the Planeteers?
Oh, my gosh. Wait. Looks like Tom Cruise, but it's not. Kwame. So it is. I can't remember.
That's it? Michael, I can't remember?
Michael Jackson. I don't know.
LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton.
Yeah, yeah. You could remember that, so you get no points. Yeah, no points. Still incorrect.
You could have, yeah. Who could've. Does Doug? Who does Doug have a crush on in the series Doug?
Ooh, you know, I want to say Wendy, but I think I'm thinking of something else.
You're thinking of the Morning Stream.
Right?
No guesses.
I can see your face.
No guesses?
No, wait. I'm going to have to say,
stop searching.
Wendy. No, I'm not searching. Look at my hands.
Wendy?
Wendy, why not?
It's Patty Mayonnaise.
Patty Mayonnaise?
Yeah.
I should have known
it's
that.
It's a terrible name.
Yeah, hey, you people judging us?
I'll give you a tenth of a
seat.
Point for that second answer because you should have.
Yeah. Who created the Liquid Television short Aeon Flux?
Oh, my gosh.
I know this one.
I should know this one.
That movie's bad.
I have that movie on HD DVD.
Do you like that movie?
The movie is not.
The movie's terrible.
This is Liquid TV, Aeon Flux.
Yeah, the cartoon.
Tommy Nix.
You are... Peter Chung is the correct answer.
Peter Chung!
Is that Stevie's brother?
Yeah, right. Stevie Nix's brother.
It's Wendy's brother.
Wrote Landslide. next question. Which 1992 episode of Batman the Animated Series won an Emmy for Outstanding Writing in an Animated Program?
The second one.
You are incorrect. It was Heart of Ice. Heart of Ice is the proper answer.
Oh, was that Mr. Freeze in that one?
Probably. He always is in the ice ones. Second to last question. Which character is voiced by Ron Perlman in the Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm animated series?
I do not remember Ron Perlman doing any voices in that.
I remember the character, but I did not know Ron did it.
But
just think it. Well, I don't want to give it away. Just think of a character he might play.
I don't know. Liu Kang.
You are wrong. He did Striker, the American sounding guy.
Oh, really?
Striker.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to give you a point. I'm just going to give you a point for no reason.
Goro or Bison.
I love Tom. Tom's Goro. I feel bad.
Goro
would
be good.
For you at this
Bison
point.
Was out there the other thing.
Yeah, Bison was Street Fighter.
Yeah.
How many seasons are there in the X-Men cartoon that began airing in 1992? That was that one. Mm-hmm. The big yellow uniforms.
It did not go as long as I wanted. I think 3 seasons.
You are incorrect. It is 5 seasons. Did all right. It's not too bad. 5 seasons. That concludes your questions. Tom, add them up. Favorite. How'd they do?
I'm going to have to do some math. This is close. Maybe one of the closest ones we've ever had. With 2.1 points, Brian Dunaway with 2.5, Brian Ibbett.
Ooh, no way. It's my first win.
Edged it out. Oh, is it really?
It is, yeah.
Congratulations, Brian.
Well, nice job, dude. We're proud of you.
I can lose for you.
You make me and your mother proud.
I was hoping it was just going to become a meme that I'd come on the show and always lose.
No, well, not exactly.
We change it.
All right, that leads directly down this hole.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
This thing, Forecast, used to be a show. It's now a segment, and it's where we predict the future, often dealing with technology and culture and whatnot. Tom has one today. What do you got there, Tom?
A cure for aging. Will come. This was recently discussed on We Have Concerns. I think it'll come a long time from now, but that's not the prediction. My prediction is that I was inspired by Anthony and Jeff's conversation that this could apply to pets.
Oh.
And I think a cure for aging will come for humans, but it will also apply to our pets, and it will make dogs and cats super intelligent over their many decades that they are alive.
Wow. So you've gone the whole jump further, which is not just the that will defy aging, but it will make them. Will it also make us super intelligent though? Same effect?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's part and parcel of this is like we will gain all this experience, and maybe even transcend humanity, et cetera. But so will our cats and dogs. They'll be right along with us.
Well,
interesting.
That's gerbils.
Yeah.
How will this intelligence manifest itself though? Because they probably still won't be able to. Do any more communication with us than the rah, 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 you know the stuff.
Probably with really insightful Reddit comments.
Who says they're not doing that now?
Right.
Could have started. Look for the evidence, people. Follow the money.
It does seem like the ultimate human endeavor in some ways would be to discover a thing that would prolong our age. And because it is the ultimate thing, I feel like we're never going to get it. It feels like the one things that we need the most. What's on the other side? Do we see anything after death? Or do we just go black and we're done? Like all these hard questions. How do I stop aging? I don't think we ever get those. And I don't know why I feel that pessimistic about it. I don't know.
Well, the what happens after we die question is really tough nut to crack because you have to die.
Yeah.
To really like reliably report. So if we know, if we kill aging and we never die, do we just not care?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we don't. I think killing aging, it would be kind of bad because you're not saying we'd kill reproduction. We'd have a serious overpopulation problem.
Right.
They talked about this on the We Have Concerns episode about this too. Would we just not care about reproduction at that point?
Yeah, I don't know. Weird. Oh, we lost Dunaway. That's why he's so quiet.
Dunaway's like, I'm out of here. This is ridiculous.
It's the worst conversation. Oh, he says he lost his power. But his typoed text was lost powerful. But
maybe he just means he lost his ability to feel powerful and just couldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, we're sorry.
I think you really upset him with those.
This prediction disenfranchised him.
I think he's back. Oh yeah, he's back. Hey, there he is.
I'm Skype phone right now.
Oh, okay, that works. Look at you on the skinny there. That was fast.
Yeah, I lost power for just a second, so now I'm coming back up. So
all right, Brian, you live in a part of the country where they can't even keep the power on, let alone make us age slower.
Right.
So, what do you think of this prediction?
I like it. I was talking about my cat, and I was going, I don't think my cat's going to get any smarter. Because I've had him for 7 years, not one bit smarter than he was from the time I got him. So I don't see how, 100 times.
It's possible that your cat only got smart enough in a way that is immeasurable at 7 years, but make it 1,000.
Then you're talking.
No, your cat got smart enough to figure out that if he still keeps acting like he did when you first got him, he'll still get food. He'll still...
So you say he's got me figured out. All right, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll concede to that.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm just happy about I'm really excited about a smarter gerbil though. That kind of
What will you do with your smarter gerbil? Will you have him fetch you things and turn off, like be your new remote control? Like what's he gonna do?
Oh my god, the possibilities are just confounding.
They really are endless.
That's Jean-Paul Sartre.
Oh goodness.
No, you just need him to run the Ethernet cable through the ceiling.
There you go.
Take this down to that wall. Jump down.
Oh my gosh. You just discovered the total. If we had super intelligent gerbils, that is the job.
That's exactly what we'd use them for.
Oh my gosh.
Wiring.
Running cable. The whole time is like, why don't you just get freaking Wi-Fi?
Yeah. You'd say at Comcast to see, all right, Mr. Johnson, we'll be out there. Our gerbil will be out there at 1 o'clock to run your cable. That's great. They're taking our jobs. All right. We're going to do a quick email that we got from a listener. They came to us at currentgeek@gmail.com. And here's how it goes. It's another Jay Martin. He's an often contributor to many things on the Frog Pants Network. See him on TMS all the time. It says, hello, Scott, Tom, and geeky guests. That's you two, I guess.
That's us.
A few weeks ago on a podcast called The Daily Tech News Show, check it out if you haven't heard of it, it's really good. There was talk about how we are all getting all kinds of health data from our devices, like sleep and heart rate patterns, but don't know how to interpret that data. My prediction is that in 10 years, doctors will be the ones that monitor all that data, not you. To make an analogous to current day, many system administrators have software monitors to monitor the health and servers and get alerted when something goes wrong. You could say this about mechanics as well. They do this with cars. I feel like this will become the way doctors will monitor their patients. So remotely, Tom will be running around with his Apple Watch. It'll start beating way too fast, even for a workout, for a sustained amount of time. And they might go, uh-oh, life alert Tom, everybody.
Well, mechanics don't, they don't keep measuring your car after it gets back into your possession.
That's
they
true.
They don't call you and say, by the way, that timing belt's sounding like it's going to go.
They don't yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, that's a good point. It does make a bit more sense in a medical way that I would be, especially people who are under, observation. If you're somebody who's diabetic or has a heart condition or something where you're at risk a lot, then I would have no problem saying, yes, doctor, let me sign this that says you can monitor my health status while I'm away. I think that's great.
I love this idea. Yeah. I mean,
I hate to say this, but it is the idea. That is the idea of all of these things. All of the health industry is like, yes, another Jay Martin. That's what we're doing.
Is that
There's
what they
no
want?
Controversy about that.
But they're not currently getting the data though, right? That's just sitting on your phone.
What the discussion on DTNS was is we don't know what all this data means. The doctors don't even know what all this data means.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And so a lot of times with like 23andMe, we get all this stuff and it's like, well, okay, it says I have this gene that could mean this disease, but it doesn't mean I'll get it. And we don't know how to reliably predict that. But no one's saying you should monitor all your health data and then bring it into the doctor and tell them, here's mm-hmm. what's wrong with me. Like, right. And nobody's saying you will like, hey, my blood pressure went up, doc. What should happen here is the ideal situation. That's a situation in the interim when we don't have a system set up that might happen. Because you're like, hey, I've been monitoring this Fitbit. Doc, can you take a look at this? But the ideal is that, yeah, your monitor is hooked up to your trusted medical professional. And then that medical professional is able to advise you based on all of that data. That's exactly the way people want it to.
But the digital prank calling that would come from this would be just outrageous, right? Like, this is what I always worry about with, I bring it up a lot, I guess, but this idea of new things, new cool fandangled stuff is great and all until somebody says, I'm going to call in a bunch of fake things that Gladys over here is having a heart attack. And
how are you going to call them in?
Well, I don't know, hacker phone or.
I mean, yeah. We have security.
Let's face it. I mean, well, that and if we're talking about some kind of data collection right now, we're talking about wearable items. But at this point, you could have a kid who could get a wearable item of grandma and cause all kind of havoc. So I can definitely see some pranking going on. And
I had something very, very close to this a few months ago. I got a new CPAP after another sleep study or after another like a new upgrade or something had come out. I've been upgraded. And so I got the new CPAP home, the breathing thing, by the way, for people who don't know. And it came with an SD card and I put the SD card in there for a month, did my regular sleep pattern, and then took that SD card to the doctor's office. They analyzed it. It's almost, you know, basically the only difference is that I had to actually physically take something in for him to monitor it.
But, why is it not on the cloud?
Right. Why is it not via Wi-Fi? Well, I'd love to know that.
And because of Scott's fears, we shouldn't go to the cloud too fast before we're ready to secure it. I mean, Scott, your fears, I don't think will be realized in widespread manners,
but
it's why we should make sure that this system is a lot more secure than it is right now before we start relying on it. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't look
at it. You
need
to be able to tell that, hey, if Bobby picked up grandma's health monitor, the monitor should know, like, wait a minute, I'm not on the right person's wrist anymore.
Right.
Yeah. And there's ways to do that.
I mean, the you could see people using it nefariously to get drugs that they're not entitled to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, and game the system to say, I'm going to get some oxycodone.
That's happening right now. That's why they have those attacks on Anthem Insurance. That's why they had the attack on the U.S. government's Office of Personnel, because they want to create false identities and get drugs and medical equipment, maybe for use, maybe for resale and make money. Like that's a real concern.
I should make it clear that I'm not actually afraid of any of these things, but I like to bring them up because to me, they get all sci-fi and fun. Like we could go all Gattaca with this if we wanted to, where, you know, your potential employers have access to your constant health data and that's how they decide if they want to hire you or not, or those sorts of things. So obviously we're far from that happening, but
we're about to look at an era that's going to go, okay, we've kind of left the information age and now we're in this age of data collection because we're collecting way more data than we can possibly use. And we're just collecting data on everything. And then we're going to go through this age and we're going to come to the age where it's going to be like, okay, what's useful?
I think it's the same age, though. It's all
the same age. But I know what you mean. Like, yeah, those are the phases we're going through for sure.
Yeah, we're collecting the data. You're talking about parsing it. And the parsing part is the part that's up in the air. And hopefully, real innovation and real, like, I don't know, if for health stuff, hopefully real life-saving things come out of that. Or is it just going to be a bunch of data? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the future of that stuff. I just know that I've been doing 7,000 steps per day all week, and I'm really proud of it. And I'm the only one that sees that data. So there you go. Nicely done there. Another mate, Jay Martin. If you'd like to send in your own email, please send them currentgeek@gmail.com. And that is an episode of the show. Guys, you guys were great, as always.
Oh, it's fun.
Always fun. Film Sack this weekend. Don't forget. Me, you, and you on Film Sack with Randy. We're going to do a movie. We're doing Escape from Alcatraz.
Yes.
That'll be fun. But beside all that.
In space, right?
Yeah. That one's in space. Freddy's in it. And let's go around the table, give people a chance to talk about our other cool things they have going on. How about you, Brian Ibbett? Let's start with you.
Well, just wrapped up a Kickstarter for the new Andrew Allen album called Live from the Canteen. It's all jazz covers of Star Wars music. Just got word today that everything's approved license-wise, which is good because I don't know what I would have done had it not been approved. But those are going into production and will be available first as an exclusive at San Diego Comic-Con. So if you're there, look for copies of Live from the Cantina there. You can buy them there.
Cool. I like it. And of course, he's on TMS with me 4 or 5 days a week, every freaking week. It's great.
Frogpants.com/TMS, yeah. Coverville.com. And basically, if you type any website, Twitter.com/Coverville, Facebook.com/Coverville, yeah. Just end it with Coverville and you'll probably find me.
Yeah, he's becoming a cam girl. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. His little side job as a cam girl.
I'm making $7 a month.
Ah, it's pretty good.
Nice.
Brian Dunaway, what are you doing?
Well, of course, you guys know we do stuff the Frog Pants. We do the Film Sack every week. Still love that and can't wait until this Sunday. And I'm also looking forward to a couple of... Have we announced what we're going to do when Ibbett goes out of town?
No. Okay, so the 2 weeks that Brian's going to be in Japan, we're going to run TV. We're watching TV episodes live. Which ones are they, though? We picked those yet?
We haven't picked them yet.
Oh, crap. We need to pick them.
Our dream is to have something that is Japanese related and maybe call in Ibbett on a few of them.
Yeah. Special different strokes where they went to Japan.
Yeah.
Right.
Tell us where the Japanese businessman touched you.
Oh, you got to watch the Hawaii 5-0 episode with Ricardo Montalban as a Japanese gangster.
What?
I love it.
That's great.
All right, we have one of them down
Tom
now.
Tom may have just picked it. Right. Is Hawaii 5-0 streaming somewhere? It must be. Has to be.
Yeah, it's on Hulu, I think. It's a CBS property, and I think it's part of that CBS back catalog that Hulu agreed to carry.
All right. Well, we may have to do that. and also Comics Coast to Coast, comicscoasttocoast.com. Check that out. Brian's great on there, as always.
Yeah, love it. Have a great time every week. Follow me at the Brian Dunaway and my website, briandunaway.com.
Very nice.
Same with me. You can just Brian Dunaway. Google it.
Yeah, you're all over the place. It's not like Scott Johnson where there's 50 million of me.
It's crazy.
You bastards with unique names. Speaking of Tom Merritt, Tom, you got anything to mention before we go here?
I am not Tom Merritt, the Kung Fu Master, or the one from Edgar Lee Master's Spoon River Anthology, but I am the co-host of FSL Tonight, which just launched season 2015 at FSLTonight.com. Get the preview before the season starts. Find out whether the New York Avengers can come back from last season's setbacks. Are we going to see a Scarrow Exterminators Gallifrey repeat? How are the Cheyenne Mountain Gators going to do with their whole Stargate thing? The Los Angeles Guardians of the Galaxy are part of the league this year. All the fun is available at FSLTonight.com.
Indeed. Exciting times. That's going to do it for us. My Kickstarter's coming. Follow me for details at Scott Johnson. I'm very excited about it. If you like my comic, then you want to pay attention to that. Call us. Leave us a voicemail, 801-471-0462. Andrew Allen, speaking to him, did our theme. Currentgeek.reddit.com is our Reddit. Currentgeek@gmail.com is our email address. @CurrentGeek on Twitter, @ScottJohnson, @AceDetect. Currentgeek.com is our website. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and the two Bryans. We'll see you next time.
Next time.
There you go.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we answer a listener question from Nick, and also take a quick look at an interesting development in the war against patent trolls. Nick wrote in on Twitter to ask about a little firestorm that popped up last week regarding a subscriber agreement contract that was proposed to go into effect for users of the Let's Encrypt service, a new free service for providing SSL, TLS, digital certificates for use on your domain names and websites. This proposed agreement required the user to make a number of warranties to be allowed to receive a Let's Encrypt certificate, including that you have not participated in a seizure of a domain name, and that you have not used your certificates to attack, defraud, or intercept traffic of others. Among other things, this laundry list of warranties was objectionable, because read in a broad sense, even companies like Microsoft have previously participated in seizures of domain names. It's not unusual to have a long list of reps and warranties between parties when formalizing a contract, and it's also not unusual for many of these to be regular or boilerplate, copied from other similar agreements. However, In this case, a bit more careful drafting could have likely avoided the potential problems altogether. Although a 2-minute segment is not long enough to dive into other deep nuances of this particular user agreement, it does reveal a couple of important life and business lessons you must understand. First, you have to read and understand the entirety of any agreement or document you are signing. If you don't understand a contract, don't sign it unless you discuss it with the other party or with legal counsel. Second, every agreement is different, and there really is no such thing as a form contract. If something in a form contract is not in accordance with what you want to agree to, then tell the party drafting the contract to change it. If they won't, then you either don't have the agreement that you really wanted, or the other side is just not worth dealing with. One final news item is worth a short mention as well. A patent case regarding secondary or induced infringement was decided this week, and in the dissent, Justice Scalia referred to the term patent troll for the first time. This is interesting because the largely pejorative term has been avoided in the past by courts of the highest level, as it implies some negative assumptions about at least one of the parties in the litigation. But by directly identifying the issue by the common name and indicating that the courts have plenty of tools to deal with this problem, the Supreme Court has made an interesting move in essentially telling Congress to back down and let the judicial branch solve this problem. The bottom line is, always understand what you sign, and keep an eye on the other highly interesting Supreme Court rulings to come out later this month.
Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and legal-themed questions or segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
Hi, this is Phil back with another Game Punting Pick of the Week from the world of crowdfunded tabletop games. This week, we're most interested in the campaign for the game Midara by Succubus Publishing. Midara is an anime-inspired co-op storytelling and tactical board game. With such an ambitious description, you can bet there's a lot of things going on in this game, and it's certainly the case. In addition to the non-linear and longer-than-usual narrative foundation, there's tactical miniatures combat, dice collection, character building, RPG, and other modern gaming tropes all mashed up into one, you know, as I said, ambitious project. If they can pull it all off, then the combination of dense but attractive gameplay combined with a bucket of cool anime miniatures could make this game something special. A $100 buy-in seems high at first, but for the number of components, particularly the large number of plastic miniatures involved, it's turning into a really good deal, especially as they continue to unlock stretch goals. While the anime theme is not normally my thing, the scope of the game and concepts it's built on have kept it in my thoughts, and I'm looking forward to seeing more gameplay and figure art as they move deeper into their campaign. Midara is being run on Kickstarter, and the campaign will be open through June 24th. Oh, and Scott, it's got a Utah connection. For more news and reviews of crowdfunded tabletop games, join us on the Game Punting Podcast, available on iTunes and at GamePunting.com. Happy gaming!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.